Currents Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Friday, October 26th. That means new music. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And yeah, we're going to be taking a listen to some newly released albums that we've been pretty excited about for a number of weeks.
Namely, Robin and some others, including a new hip-hop take on You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. But first, let's talk about a new movie coming out next week that has some new music associated with it as well.
Yeah, so there's a new biopic called Bohemian Rhapsody, and surprise, surprise, it's about Queen. And it's about the band, really, though, delving into the life of Freddie Mercury. Who was he before Queen, and how did being in that band change the trajectory of his life?
So Jade and I got an early look at this film. I don't know if spoilers is an appropriate concept to use here, given that it's the story of Queen. We know the story. It's public. But we'll try not to share any details that you might wish to be surprised by and just share some general impressions of the movie. What'd you think, Jade?
You know, I love Queen's music. So anytime I can hear music and see somebody, and let's just say Rami Malek doing his best Freddie Mercury is pretty spot on and ridiculously good. In fact, that was my favorite thing about the whole movie was just his performance in it. But the performance, getting to see a band that I missed out on getting a chance to see live, was really exciting for me. So those live music moments that they were on stage and performing, or scenes where they were in the studio kind of creating this music, was really, for the music lover inside of me, a favorite.
I agree on Rami Malek's performance. It was beautiful to watch. And if you only know Freddie Mercury from his charismatic stage presence and his over-the-top theatrics and the way that he engaged a huge crowd, well, that was part of his art. But the movie also portrays his life in a really intimate way. And this performance is a lot of very still, quiet moments and sort of portrays him as sort of almost a quiet, reticent person, you know, in person.
And I think that reticence spills out throughout the entire movie. I think if you really know the story of Queen, you're going to have a couple of moments where you're like, what? That doesn't go in line with what I know as the story of Queen. There is this reticence to share some aspects of his life, and it allows you to kind of get a hazy watercolor of what Freddie Mercury's life was like without going into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, and that's clearly the tension. So there was a lot of questioning before this movie came out regarding whether the movie would really delve into the complex question of his sexuality, of the fact that he had AIDS and died of that disease, because the trailer that came out pretty much just showed him making out with a woman and didn't really get into his relationships with men. And I think it's fair to say the movie certainly does get into his relationships with men, but is it possible for any movie to do justice to the complex reality of what it meant to be a closeted gay or bisexual man who was also a rock star in the 70s and the 80s? It was such a weird and painful time in so many ways because it was a time when being very flamboyant and over the top and colorful was important to many artists' personas, and artists like David Bowie and Freddie Mercury and Elton John were able to project these confident personae that a lot of their fans sort of keyed into and said, here's someone who's making me feel okay to be me. But at the same time, these artists were themselves closeted.
Well, and it was also such a bizarre time because if you look at who the fans were of Queen, a lot of those people saw it as a hyper-masculine band. And that's really what the film does justice to.
Yeah, it is really thrilling to see the scenes of Queen rocking out in the studio and then in some epic live scenes, including the concluding scene, an extended recreation of their performance at Live Aid. And it really drives home what a uniting band Queen were.
Which kind of leads us into the new music that you get. There's a soundtrack for this movie. So, of course, you're getting some Queen.
It does round up a lot of their greatest hits, some of them in studio recordings that are remastered, like their David Bowie collaboration Under Pressure, which appears in the movie, but you don't see it portrayed. There's no Bowie. You don't see the making of that song. Other songs you actually do see come together in the movie, like We Will Rock You. So there's kind of a special mix that portrays the creation of that song. But then there are some really cool live recordings. I think this is the real treat for the Super Queen fans who are like, yeah, the hits, we know them, we love them. What do you have that's really cool and new for us here? And there are great sounding live recordings of that Live Aid set. There's a beautiful recording from the Rock in Rio Festival. This is a cool scene in the movie where the band starts to play Love of My Life and the whole crowd just like sings along.
Yeah, and kind of takes lyrics. It over. Yeah, beautiful moment, not only in the movie, but just to listen to as well.
A Queen song that I really hadn't fully appreciated, I don't think, until I saw this movie, was Radio Gaga. I would not, if you'd asked me to name 20 Queen songs, I could have done it, but I don't think that would have been one of them. But it appears in this Live Aid performance, you know, they start to play Bohemian Rhapsody and then interrupt it, which you're like, oh no, you know, needle skipping.
Why would you do that?
But then they go into this like rousing rendition of Radio Gaga, and it's just anthemic. I'm like, where has this song been all my life?
Time to check out those new releases. Starting it off, Ty Segall. He's a guy who seems to be releasing an album every 3 months or so, and often uses them as a showcase for his love of covers. So this new album, Fudge Sandwich, it goes all in, 100% in on covers of Ty's favorite tracks from the late 60s to the early 70s. And there's everything in here. From John Lennon to Funkadelic, they all get Ty's sludgy guitar-driven take, including a very heavy and gritty version of War's Lowrider.
All my friends know the Lowrider.
It's here, Robin's first new album in 8 years, and yes, it rules. The 40-minute album, Honey, is full of sparkling synth pop that will totally scratch that itch you've been having since Body Talk blew your mind and dragged you to the dance floor in 2010. It's a quieter album, more pulsing than banging, but Robin's longing lyrics are as relatable as ever, and the album climaxes with the poignantly hopeful final track. With this album in your pocket, you might just feel like Robin, that you're never going to be brokenhearted ever again.
Three of today's most intriguing and creative songwriters, Lucy Dacus, Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, they went into the Los Angeles Sound City studio for 4 days in June, and today, kind of surprisingly, released the project from their supergroup, Boy Genius. And this is super. It's one of those rare situations where the accumulation is as great, if not greater, than the individual pieces. Every line is earnest and intimate, bringing intensity and immediacy to songs like Me and My Dog.
I never said I'd be all right. Just thought I could hold myself together.
So the Grinch has always been a character for people who love to hate Christmas, and Tyler, the creator, plays into that grumpy glee with his new take on the classic song, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
And if you're like me and that song is so ingrained in your brain, this is kind of going to be a shocking take.
Yeah. So the song was originally written for the 1966 animated TV special based on Dr. Seuss's 1957 picture book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And Dr. Seuss himself wrote the lyrics to the song, which was originally performed by the legendary Thurl Ravenscroft, a.k.a. Tony the Tiger. Ever since, the song's been covered by everyone from RuPaul to Mannheim Steamroller, Darius Rucker, the Glee cast, and of course, Jim Carrey sang it as part of his starring role in the 2000 live-action movie about the Grinch. Well, now the Grinch is coming back to theaters in computer-animated form, voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch, but he doesn't sing the song. Odd Future's breakout leader Tyler, the Creator, puts a hip-hop spin on the song for the single that's out now.
You're a mean one. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel.
And that's it for today's music news. You can hear all that music over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Jade is also our producer. We'll be back on Monday with more music news headlines. Have a great weekend, and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You have all of the sweetness of a seasick crocodile. Mr. Grinch.